Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome to News and Views. I'm your host, Rob Schofield. Under a new draft merit pay plan for teacher compensation developed by the North Carolina Department of Public Instruction, classroom experience, a teacher's current chief pathway to a higher salary, would be devalued in favor of a combination of several other potential criteria, including student test scores and evaluations prepared by principals, fellow educators, and students. And while many teachers acknowledge the potential value of factoring in the evaluations of trained educators into teacher pay, the plan's inclusion of student test scores and survey results has provoked a storm of protests from critics. Earlier this week, in order to get a better understanding of the plan and some of the critiques, I sat down with Justin Parmenter, a veteran Mecklenburg County middle school teacher who publishes regular commentaries on education policy at the website Notes from the Chalkboard. Well, Justin Parmenter, welcome to News and Views. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Obviously, you are a veteran educator. You've been in the teaching world for years and years. Before we get into a discussion of what's really front and center right now, what's the state of teacher morale right now in North Carolina? We hear that there are fewer applicants for education schools. We've seen a lot of people leaving the profession. We know that teacher pay in North Carolina has lagged. How are people hanging in there? How are you hanging in there?
Well, you know, those of us who have chosen to stay are, I think, hanging on by our fingertips at this point. It's been an incredibly challenging year. And I think, you know, I've heard this over and over, but after last year, you know, kind of our first full pandemic year, I think all of us were just assuming that things would have to get better this year because they couldn't get worse. And we were definitely wrong about that. You know, the staffing challenges, the Omicron spike that we saw after the holidays, it's been really difficult. And so we are all stretched extremely thin. The attrition numbers, I think, for this year are going to be really alarming. That data is really slow to come out, unfortunately. It was interesting to see DPI recently using last year's attrition numbers to talk about how things weren't really all that bad. So there is a lag in the data that I think is a problem. But, you know, we know just based on, you know, how many missing teachers we have that it's really grave right now. And I think all of us are wondering, what's the long-term prognosis for public schools if we can't do something really dramatic to kind of shift things back in the direction that we need to get them going in?
It's obvious that we need more funding, we need higher pay, we need better facilities. But what we're seeing now from the Department of Public Instruction and what you've been writing about on your website Notes from the Chalkboard in recent days is a new proposal that is a new system that would bring what many refer to as merit pay to how we compensate teachers in North Carolina. We know that North Carolina teachers are not well compensated right now, particularly in comparison to their private sector peers. In that regard, North Carolina is probably near the bottom in the country. But talk to us about this new proposal. Superintendent Truitt stood before a microphone recently and said it's not merit pay, but sure looks and smells like merit pay when I read some of the details.
Well, I think it depends on your definition. Superintendent Truitt apparently Googled a definition by the Department of Labor right before she made her comments at the state board meeting on Wednesday and said, you know, that it's when you're an employer sets, I can't remember the exact wording, but sets certain measures for your effectiveness. And that's exactly what's happening here. So under this proposal, which DPI and the other people who are working on it keep saying is just a draft, you know, there would be a variety of effectiveness measures that the teacher would be able to choose from. And those measures would be used to determine their compensation and ability to advance in the model and to move up to a, you know, a higher level of pay. One of them is EVOS scores, which are entirely driven by standardized test results. And then there are some others that would include things like principal evaluations, peer observations, student surveys, all of them problematic in various ways, you know, either because they're subjective or they're based on factors that the teacher doesn't have any control over. And so all of them highly problematic.
What, of course, the proponents of these kinds of approaches say is, well, right now, everybody just gets an automatic raise every year, and therefore, people who don't deserve it are awarded raises. It would be fairer to have some sort of an evaluation system. Now, the obvious response to part of that is that they haven't even gotten those for a long time. We haven't had many raises in North Carolina, but talk to us about the whole issue of experience versus some sort of subjective analysis or assessment of a teacher's performance.
Yeah, well, it's really interesting to me also, you know, the way this is kind of being framed in two different ways now, because initially it was supposed to be, my understanding is it was supposed to be a fix for our pipeline. You know, for years now, we've seen declining enrollment in our university educator preparation programs. 30%, I think, decline over the last 10 years, roughly, something like that. This was pitched as a way of fixing the pipeline. But now there's also kind of this element, I think, that's running through it of, you know, we need more accountability. You know, we need to be able to tell whether our teachers are good. And if they're not, then we're going to get rid of them. You know, in this new model, if you fail to renew your license one time, then you don't get a raise. But if you fail to renew your license a second time, you lose your license. So you would lose your ability, not just to work in that job that you have, but to be an educator anywhere in North Carolina. And at a time when we're facing the most serious staffing crisis in my memory in 25 years in the classroom, to be passing something that it seems like is not really designed to fix the pipeline, it just seems like really poor timing for that approach.
We're talking with veteran Mecklenburg County teacher and education policy commentator Justin Parmenter. He writes at the website Notes from the Chalkboard. Check him out, notesfromthechalkboard.com. So talk to us a little bit more in detail. Under this proposal, am I right? And you've alluded to it, that we're actually going to look at students' performance on standardized test scores and then link that potentially to how much a teacher is compensated?
That's right. Yeah. So the EVAS scores that teachers have been getting for, I don't know, somewhere around 10 years now, maybe a little bit longer than that, are produced by the SAS Corporation, which, you know, was founded and is run by James Goodnight. And it uses a secret algorithm to measure teacher effectiveness just based on their students' growth or lack of growth on standardized tests. And so this is a measure which purports to be able to say exactly how much value this teacher is adding to the student's life. Obviously, it doesn't measure things like coaching or strength of relationships that teachers are able to build with their students, or the myriad other ways that staff in a building bring value to a child's life, which is, I think, you know, why it's troubling to a lot of educators and parents and volunteers and other staff members that know that education is a really complex art form, really, and it's not something that we can boil down to just one number. So I think to try to broaden the measures a little bit and gain some buy-in, you know, DPI and the people who are working on this proposal have also added sort of a menu of options that the educator can choose from. So if their EVAS scores are bad, then they can just elect not to use EVAS under this proposal. They can choose something else. You know, as I mentioned before, none of the measures seem to me to be in and of themselves like the sort of magic measure of teacher effectiveness. And I will say that, you know, I think a lot of those things that they're proposing be used are helpful tools in our public schools. My view is that EVAS is not. Some people disagree with me, and that's fine. But, you know, things like principal evaluations, we get important information from those tools. It's always helpful to get feedback from students on what they like or don't like about the way we're doing things in our classes. It's helpful to have peers come into our classrooms and watch us teach and let us know some things that they notice about our practice. All of those are really useful as kind of formative coaching tools and help educators to get better at what they do. But, you know, if you want to take someone who is already underpaid, already working a second job, already wondering, you know, is this really the right career for me, or is it a dead end and I need to run out the door like so many other people have done this year? It just doesn't seem like a move that, again, is designed to fix our leaky pipeline in North Carolina, or at least I don't think that's how it's going to play out.
What should be our approach to teacher compensation? Obviously, I think we're probably agreed that we need to pay teachers more. Should teachers generally, if they stay in the job for an extended period of time, should they expect to get a raise each year or, you know, over time to just keep up with the cost of living or to reflect the fact that they've been in the profession longer? Should there be a role for some sort of an evaluation from your principal or your peers? What's your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think evaluations are a really important part of every job. You know, we need to grow. We need to improve at the work that we do. You know, people aren't always going to seek out those opportunities on their own. And that's just a fact of life. I think in every industry, there are systems of ensuring that people are engaging in professional development, ensuring that people are supervised and have folks that are checking in on them to see how they're doing. But we need to acknowledge that our profession is in serious crisis right now, especially in North Carolina. For years now, this has been a deeply unappealing state to be a professional educator. And there are policy reasons behind that trend. And I think that's another thing that really troubles me about this whole proposal, is that it pretends that we don't know what the problem is and we're going to try to fix it by making it easier for people to enter the classroom. You know, they're trying to create what they're calling multiple on-ramps. So we have new ways that people can become teachers. Which is great. You know, there shouldn't just be one pathway to the classroom. But the problem is when you throw the doors open to people who, you know, maybe they have a background in business and they can teach some sort of career and technical education class, or, you know, they worked in a laboratory and now they're thinking they might want to try being a science teacher, but they have no experience working with children at all. They have no background in how do you, you know, child psychology, how do you manage challenging behaviors, how to be understanding of the backgrounds of our children, all the things that it takes to be effective at working with kids in a school. And then on top of that, we say, okay, well, since we've got all these folks coming into our classrooms now, we don't really know if they're good at teaching. Let's put a whole bunch of measures in place to try to see if this is going well. But all of those measures are problematic in various ways. So at the end of the day, I don't think we're really going to know whether or not these teachers are doing their jobs. We're going to make this change completely system-wide overnight. To me, it just, there are so many problems with this proposal that I think we need a reality check. We need teachers not to be shy about sharing their views. You know, and I think that's the other problem with this. You know, they've got subcommittees working on these proposals. There are a handful of teachers, you know, a lot of university folks and whatnot, but I don't feel they have done to this point a good job of collecting and using feedback from the people who will be tasked with like implementing these policy changes or being the ones that the changes are implemented on. You know, now they're talking about, well, let's do some listening tours and things like that, which, you know, the timing, it seems to me that it's more in response to a lot of irate emails from teachers than anything else. But it would be very interesting over the next months to watch how this plays out. And the other thing that, you know, isn't really getting talked about a whole lot is all of this depends on the General Assembly having some kind of unexpected change of heart and deciding that a massive increase in education funding in our state is just what we need. And I'm not sure we've seen any evidence over the last 12 years that something like that is possible with current leadership in our state.
So as we conclude our time with Justin Parmeter, a veteran Mecklenburg County educator, so Justin, what steps should they take? Are there specific things that you would recommend that would, I know it's a big ask, but that would begin to repair some of the damage that's been done to how teachers perceive their positions in the modern education system in North Carolina?
Well, you know, it's a complex problem without a single solution, but I think engagement is a really important part of this process. You know, the meetings have been public. They've been taking place during the school day, and the, you know, the recordings and minutes are a little hard to find if you don't know where to look for them. Hasn't been a lot of reporting since this has been kind of like a little bit behind closed doors, and it's been just sort of in the draft stage for so long. Now that people, I think, are becoming a lot more aware of exactly, you know, what's going on and the timeline is starting to crystallize a little bit more, I think it's so important for people to be engaged, to be, you know, informed about what's going on and be ready to communicate their views to the people who are going to be in the position of making decisions about this. You know, it's so important that we have robust, honest, and public dialogue about changes that will impact our whole education system in North Carolina.
Makes sense to me. Justin Parmeter is a veteran Mecklenburg County teacher and education policy commentator. He writes at the website notesfromthechalkboard.com. Justin, keep up the good work. Hang in there. Thanks so much for all you do for the kids you serve and for our state. And hopefully we'll talk again later this year.
That sounds good. Thanks so much, Rob.
Coming up next, a special extended conversation with author Phoebe Zerwick about her new and powerful book, Beyond Innocence, The Life Sentence of Daryl Hunt. Don't go away.